And our guest this hour, Constance Victoria Briggs. Her latest work is called The Encyclopedia of Moon Mysteries. She's also authored a book called The Encyclopedia of Angels. We'll talk with her about that when we come back and take your calls this hour on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Constance Victoria Briggs with us. Her latest book is called The Encyclopedia of Moon Mysteries, and there are many secrets there. And let me ask you a question about the moon, then I want to get into some angels. The creation, as you were mentioning, about Adam, believed to be tied to the moon in ancient aliens. Exactly, again, how did that come about?
I'm not sure which part of it.
Was there any connection between, you know, that creation and what's going on with the moon and ancient aliens?
Not the mysteries of what's going on with the moon, just the connection of there is something that possibly happened in the beginning of our civilization. Did it start on Earth, or could that tale of Adam from the Sumerian tradition on the moon be true? Could they have started there and then brought them here? The moon's not that far away. The moon is strange, you know. We think that there could be someone there, or could have been someone there. There are ruins that they have found on the moon. At least I believe they're ruins. Many researchers believe they're structures and ruins up there that show that someone was there. There may have been a war there. So something happened way back when. I don't know if there is a tie-in with the Sumerian belief story, but who knows if it started there and then humanity was brought here. It certainly would explain some of the UFOs that we see, coming around. UFOs have been seen near the moon a lot.
Oh, sure. You know, they could be parked on the backside for all we know.
Sorry?
They could be parked on the backside.
Exactly. Or on the inside. I mean, there is a contactee who said he was taken to the moon, and there are people living inside the moon, and there was a whole bay of ships, he said. Now, I don't know how much stock people put in contactees, but I don't believe that all of the stories are made up that we're being told of people's experiences with ETs. But in any event, you know, could there be a tie-in of the beginning of civilization in the moon and humanity being brought from there to here?
Well, if these ETs don't want to be seen on our planet on a regular basis with their craft, parking it on the moon would be the most obvious thing to do, wouldn't it?
One would think, and you know, it would explain a lot about why we see so many of them, and often the same shapes of them. That cigar-shaped craft is very well known. I mean, books are being written about it, and they've been seen on the moon, you know, flying around the moon. The astronauts saw them and reported them following the Apollo mission. So, you know, we don't know who they are, but gosh, there could be a connection to the ancient past and ancient aliens.
Let's take a few calls, and then I want to chat with you about the Encyclopedia of Angels. Joe in Long Island, New York. Welcome, Joseph. Go ahead.
Hey, Bonnie. I want to ask you about the angels, too. But on the moon, I was talking to a girl from a running club, and she said the moon reminded her of a brain with the craters. And I was thinking, I never heard that one before, but maybe she's on to something. And then I was wondering if the drinking water there is actually an elixir. And then on the angels, it would be great if I had an angel to help me out, but they say you don't have their names, but I'd rather have a name. And then the other thing I heard is you can, if you've lost contact with someone, you could ask your angel to talk to their angel and then reestablish contact that way.
Well, he's jumping a little ahead of our angels, but what do you think of those questions, Constance?
Okay, I know nothing about the elixir, part of the question. I hear that there is some water. They did find water on the moon, but who knows? I mean, you know, I don't know the nature of it for sure, but I did hear that they found some. But seriously, regarding the angels, I do believe that we all have an angel with us. You can also call it a guide. We all came into this life, I believe, with someone to help us. Now, they're not allowed to just interfere in our lives. We have to ask for help. So if you want a name, ask for a name. You may get one. If you don't get one, that's okay, too. If you want to contact someone, you said something about your angel contacting someone else's angel. Well, let me tell you, you do have an angel with you. Like I said, you can call it your angel or you can call it your guide, but they're there. And yes, you can ask your angel to contact someone else's angel and give them a message. You have to do it. You know, it could work. I've done it.
Now, this discussion, Constance, about you have to ask for help. I have heard stories and I've gotten calls. Here's one example. A truck driver was driving on a very windy, cliffy type road. And he's going all over the place. And it was nighttime. He was exhausted. He fell asleep for a few seconds, just enough where your truck could go right over the cliff. He woke up moments before he was going over the cliff to see a hand on his steering wheel pulling the truck back onto the road. It literally saved his life. Once he got his composure, there was nobody else in the cab. There was nobody. He couldn't find it. We concluded that it might have been his guardian angel. Now, obviously, he didn't ask for help. The guardian angel stepped in and saved him, or somebody did.
Don't misunderstand me. When I say ask for help, I meant to asking your angel to leave you and go and give a message to someone. But when it comes to saving your life or protecting you from harm,
they step in.
They're going to just step in. But I mean, they're not going to just go and have that you know, the job that you apply for, have the boss, you know, send you contract. You know, you're going to have to ask them to help you out with that a little bit. You want the job, you know. They're not going to just go and intervene and interfere in every aspect of your life. But I would definitely say that if you are in trouble, you can definitely say, please help me. You know, angels help me. You know, my angel help me. Whatever you want to say. But even if you don't, I think they'll step in. I mean, I know too many stories of my own where people have been rescued by, you know, someone, by an angel, by a guide, or maybe even a relative on the other side to help them out. So, yeah. But for the most part, they don't just come in and interfere in your life and, you know, give you the phone number of the girl down the street that you want, you know, or something like
that. Or the job that's available or anything like that.
You know, you can ask for their help to help you, you know, find one, get one. Locate one, you know, that kind of thing. But
why are the fallen angels so ticked off at us?
You know, I don't know if I believe in fallen angels. I'm going to be honest. I mean, every subject is really complicated. For me to believe in a fallen angel, I'd have to start believing in, you know, the devil and Satan and all of that. So are there any bad beings out there? Yeah, I think the universe has polarities, but these fallen angels, I'm not sure that there's angels, bad angels walking around trying to do us in.
You don't think so?
No.
Oh, I don't know. Let's go to Mary in New Jersey. Hi, Mayor. Go ahead.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Years ago, I saw a movie. I was half paying attention. I know the star was Kim Novak, and I don't even know what the movie was about, but I heard them say Bell, Book, and Candle. And I don't know if they were talking about witchcraft or what they were talking about. But when you say the moon rings like a bell, and then we have the candle is the sun, and the earth is a book because we have the Bible, I'm wondering, does that have anything? Do you know what that means? Bell, book, candle?
Bell, book, candle. No.
Nor do I.
Know what that means. Bell, book, candle. No.
It was a 1958 film, though. How about that for quick? It was a comedy romance.
Kim Novak?
Kim Novak played the role of Jillian Holdroyd, a modern-day witch living in New York City's Greenwich Village.
You know what? Go ahead and send me a message. I'll look it up for you.
And Jimmy Stewart was in it, too.
Yeah, I'd like to know that myself.
1958. That was the name of the movie, Bell, Book, and Candle.
I wonder what that, I'd be happy to do that research for someone for that question.
And as a matter of fact, you can find it on Wikipedia. Just put in Bell, Book, and Candle. That they've got it all there. Yeah, my staff is quick here, Constance. They're quick.
Oh, there you have it, Ben. Sorry I couldn't answer that one.
I've got 800 researchers working at any given time. Did you know that?
No.
They're actually listeners who just send us notes all the time. But the angelic world is a fascinating world, and you believe it's definitely real, don't you?
You know, it's far more complicated than just angels with wings moving around, okay? So I believe that there are levels of spiritual beings that have different functions in our universe, and I believe they're there for helping us. I also believe that they are, assisting with humanity, whether or not, we're going to do ourselves in or not do ourselves in. I think that they're trying to, protect us and maybe even just hold everything back and give us a chance to kind of fix things. I think there are many beings out there doing many things in our lives that we can't see. So we've got the angels, and we've got beings that are even higher than the angels that may even have some kind of creator status. You know, it's not just extraterrestrials, humanity, and angels sent from God. It's more complicated than all of that.
Let's go to Tom in Riverside, California. Hello, Thomas.
Hey, George. I wanted to ask Constance about something really strange about the moon.
Okay.
It's a wonderful gift to the Earth, and I think it's overlooked a lot of times. What would it be? If you could imagine, what would it be if there was no moon? We've got this beautiful companion up there. It's our night light for, three or four days, nights out of the year, or out of the month. And but the question is this, is the timing. It's so remarkable. This is like the precision of a Swiss clock. Look at the timing here. We're always looking at the same place on the moon when it's lit. Why is that? And I wanted to know the physical reason, if there is, if she knows. Why is that? What's the physics of this, that timing is like that? And then also I wanted to ask a question about the angels.
All right, well, hold on for that. In terms of the moon, it's physics. It's all physics. The moon faces us on a constant basis. We never see the backside because of the timing of rotations and things like that. Constance, there's nothing supernatural about that.
There's nothing, there's nothing supernatural about it, but there is a theory when, you're questioning the origin of the moon and you're talking about it, perhaps being placed here purposefully in our orbit. There's a theory that the reason we only see one side of the moon is because we are not allowed
to see the other side.
They want us to see the backside. There may be something going on in the backside that they don't want us to know. We may be being watched from the moon. They don't want us to know. The astronauts, I forget which mission it was, they took a trip. The first time they took a trip to the far side of the moon, they heard very weird noises, and they couldn't explain them. And NASA has some recordings. They called it...
That was Apollo 10.
Okay, called it, they heard moon music. It wasn't really music. It was some kind of, just weird sounds. And the astronauts, you can hear them talking about it on a recording. Do you hear that?
Yeah.
What is that?
We just, as a matter of fact, we just played a recording of those astronauts talking about that music that was recreated by Robert Morningstar last week.
Oh, yeah. Okay, you're way ahead of me, George.
Amazing.
You've already covered that.
Let's go back to Tom for his quote. Oh, he just hung up on us. We wanted his angel story, but he's gone. Let's go to Michael in Costa Mesa, California. Hey, Michael, go ahead.
Hey, hi there. Good evening. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Good, thanks.
Well, it's a treat to be able to have this conversation on Coast. I've always wondered about this a conversation that people have had, that the size of the moon has a correlation that has a distance from what it is to the Earth. There's these different theories that I've heard that are almost impossible to imagine, because the circumference of the Earth, there's something that you'll probably be able to answer, so I'm curious.
What do you think, Constance?
What is the question?
The question is there a correlation with the distance of the distance around the Earth and then the distance around the Moon, in the distance between the two? Have you ever heard that theory?
Oh, no, I haven't heard anything about there being a correlation between the two.
Other than it's pretty darn close for us. Only takes a couple days to get there.
Yeah, three. Yep, it's very close, but I don't know. Only, I've heard thoughts on the eclipses and how, moon covers the sun exactly, and we have that eclipse and how weird that is and how that was planned out. But unfortunately, I can't answer that question. No.
We've got Albert, first-time caller, and he's not ready either. Well, the calls are all jammed up. Let's go to Derek in Virginia. Hey, Derek, welcome.
Hey, how are you doing?
Okay.
So I have two questions for you. I mean, one of them is not really a question, but it's kind of a question.
All right.
All right, so when Neil Armstrong first landed on the moon, him himself even said that when he landed, it sounded like the moon had rang like a bell for
That's
hours.
Right. That's right.
The second question I've got is how nobody's been to the dark side of the moon, how you'd pretty much die if you were to go there because it's so cold. I was wondering if there was possibly maybe a space station on the other side of the moon, like an entrance way.
Well, there's nothing there. The Chinese, of course, landed a craft on the far side and have started to uncover some interesting things. But that's about it so far. We've never physically have gone to the far side.
Mm-hmm. So, there are a lot of, George, I agree, but I want to say that there are theories that, there are entrances inside the moon, that there may be something going on, that there are these craters that are bottomless, that could be a place, these craters could be a place where there are ships coming out and going back in. They have tunnels in that are so vast.
They've got all kinds of things there. Constance, we're going to come back and take final calls with you in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, she calls herself the Good Witch. We're going to talk about old world magic, and then we'll take your calls in our final hour with Patty Negri right here on Coast to Coast. And welcome back. George Norrie with you. We're here with Constance Victoria Briggs. Her book is called The Encyclopedia of Moon Mysteries. And, of course, your past books, like The Encyclopedia of Angels, you can still get those, Constance?
Yes, they are still available on Amazon.
That's one of the quickest places to get it.
Yeah, and there's also one out there that your audience may be interested in, the Encyclopedia of the Unseen World, where I talk about, what happens on the other side, things, I do have angels in there. I have a lot of information on after-death communication. I have a few stories in there about ghosts. Some weird, fun tales. but mostly it was to guide people or help people understand what happens, you know, on the other side, what the light is going into the light, what is astral projection, for example. But my favorite part of the book is the after-death communication and how our loved ones can contact us from the other side and signs to look out for, things of that nature.
All right, let's go to Mimi in Midland, Texas. Hi, Mimi. Welcome to the show.
Hi, George. Thank you.
Sure thing.
This is a great program. You and me, we both have a gallon worth of detail in a quart container.
Uh-huh.
My detail is bell, book, and candle. And what that was, and it may still be, I don't know. But back in medieval times when they would excommunicate somebody, and that was serious stuff. You might as well just die.
They were like sinners, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. They did. They made a big deal out of it, and it was a ritual. And at the end of it, the priest would ring the bell, slam the book shut, which represented the Book of Life, and blow out the candle.
You remember the movie, 1958? I bet it's on YouTube.
I do, and the cat was called Paddywhack.
Paddywhack, indeed. I love it. Thanks, Mimi.
Wow.
Interesting updates on things like that. What has been your greatest experience, Constance, investigating some of these stories that you've done? Whether it's an angelic experience or something about the moon, what has been for you your favorite?
Oh, gosh. You know, I have to share, you know, kind of, it's funny because it kind of ties in with the moon and angels. There's this great story, you may be familiar with it, that came out of Russia about cosmonauts that had seen angels. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but...
they saw it when they were up there in space?
Yeah, so as the story goes, there were six Russian cosmonauts that claimed to have seen angels, you know, while they were in space. So the first, there were a set of three that went up to the space station, and they were, you know, milling about doing their work or whatever, and there was, they noticed a blinding bright orange light coming from the little porthole or peephole or whatever you call it, and it was, you know, beaming brightly into the space station. So they looked out, you know, to see what in the world it was, and they saw seven angels. The angels were described as seven giant figures. They were in human form, complete with halos and wings, and they said that they were the size of jetliners. And they said that each angel was indistinguishable from the other. These angels followed the capsule for about 10 minutes, and then they disappeared. So they all saw it. They all reported it. 12 days later, after there was another crew that took their place, 12 days later, these angels appeared again. And this crew saw them. Again, the light appeared, and the cosmonauts saw them. I mean, you know, we have the names of all of the cosmonauts. One of the cosmonauts was quoted as saying, we were truly overwhelmed when they saw them, and they said that they were smiling as though they shared a glorious secret.
I love that story. Ernest in Milwaukee, it's your turn. Hi, Ernest.
Hi, how you doing, George?
Okay, sir, thank you.
Okay, yeah, during the break, I went to my bookshelf and I pulled this book off called Somebody Else is on the Moon by George H. Leonard, copyright 1976. Not one of Constance ever heard of it before.
Have you heard of that book, Constance?
I've heard of it. I own it, yes.
You do own
it? You do own it. Okay, then, yeah, because I was always going to make mention of that one particular picture that I like about that object that's leaving tracks. But the thing about this one is that it's leaving tracks across the moon, but this object is actually coming up out of a crater.
Ha.
It's moving out of a crater. That's what the thing was on about it. And I was just thinking that if anybody is interested, I don't know if this book is still in print, but it's a very good one because the pictures that are in there are actually from NASA. And they also have sketches of other objects too, like these one machines that they said that rolls across and kind of like flip-flops and leave X tracks.
What made you get that book a long time ago, Ernest?
Oh, George, I got about 6,000 books in my personal library on the paranormal.
Wow.
And a lot of them is on UFOs and stuff. And I got books that I don't even think that y'all have even talked about on y'all.
You're a library of paranormal stuff.
Yes, I do have, and especially on UFOs. And so I collect a lot of them. In fact, I got a complete library on Zechariah Ascension. So.
He's one of the best.
Got me started on this.
Well, that's great.
But like I said, I just wanted to mention about this book because it is very good.
Okay, and you've got that, Constance? So you've got a great collection yourself.
I do. I have a pretty good collection. You know, I had to in the city where I am. I didn't find for my research. I just couldn't, you know, get what I needed, and I've amassed quite a collection, too. Yeah, I do have that book. It does have some fascinating imagery in there of some of the ruins and structures, you know, that they have seen on the moon that were, as you said, were taken by NASA. I believe that you can probably still get that, you know, on Amazon. And definitely, if you can on Amazon, I would try eBay. I agree. It's definitely worth checking out. We didn't get into, you know, structures tonight, but there are a lot of things going on up there where, you know, there was a, for example, really quickly, I'll say there was a...
And on the far side again, right?
No. The bridge, I don't know if you've heard about the bridge that appeared. It was, it was 12 miles long. It connected two mountain peaks. It was there for a long time. It was in an area that had been studied by astronomer John O'Neill for years. He had been watching the moon. He knew the area well. This thing kind of appeared. And then after a bit of time, after a few years, actually, it disappeared again.
Like they like it was disassembled or something?
Sorry?
Like it was disassembled?
Some believe that it was dismantled by extraterrestrials, they said, possibly to keep their existence a secret from humans on Earth once they learned that we got wind of it. They found some amazing, you know, stuff up there. There's another tale, just quickly, where Apollo 17 astronauts were in the lunar rover moving around up there, and they came across, and this thing was being, shown to us, you know, back on Earth. People were watching this, and millions of people saw this. They came across a structure, you know, and when they did, Walter Cronkite, who was the journalist at the time, said, "That looks like a man-made object," and they cut the...
Ho, 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 ho. Yeah, for Uncle Walter to say that, that's pretty incredible.
Right, and they cut the feed. And 20 minutes later, they came back on, and they told Cronkite announced that the camera attached to the lunar rover had inadvertently photographed itself. That's what they said.
I met him one time. What a great, great television anchor person he was.
I know.
He walked right past me, and I said, "I got to meet him. I got to meet him." So I kind of like went up to him. He was like 2 feet away from me. And I said, "Oh, my gosh, you're Walter Cronkite." And he looked at me and went, "Yes, I am."
Oh, wow.
And that was,
well,
that was...
anyway, he was there for that one. You know, that was an interesting story. So, you know, they believe that, you know, they fudged that one, that it wasn't really the lunar rover that took a photograph of itself. That they had actually, it's believed that they actually saw something up there.
What about that Mars probe the Russians had circling around, I think, Phobos, its moon, and all of a sudden it took a picture of something coming at it, got the picture back to the Russians and then Soviets at the time, and then the probe was gone, obliterated. Did you ever hear that story?
I did hear that story. And, you know, it's a story that I want to put in my next book. Yeah, that was fascinating.
It sure was.
I was blown away.
Let's go to Henry in Vancouver, British Columbia. Go ahead, Henry.
Hi, George. Hi, Constance.
Hi.
I think I have a few questions, but I'll see what you can do. Some may be easy to answer. The first one is, how does an angel come to decide whether a person is to be saved or to let them die?
Well, that's it. Let's take them one at a time. Let's go with that first one. Does an angel make that decision, or does God do that?
Okay, so I, you know, there's a saying that, you know, we all have a time that, you know, to go. If it is your time, and I believe that we really do, the angel is going to, he's going to let you go, and he's going to escort you over, I believe.
Okay, interesting. Let's get his second take. Go ahead, Anthony. Henry, go ahead.
Did I get that question through? I'm not sure if I answered that or not.
Did I answer that for you?
Yeah, the first one. The second question would be, I guess, how is an angel assigned to watch over a person? Like, what do they have to meet a certain criteria? Do they choose who they want to watch over? Or?
Well, if you watch the movie It's a Wonderful Life, there's a group up there that assigns the angels. What do you think about real life, though, Constance?
I believe that when we're on the other side, we begin on the other side. We're not born. We don't begin when we're born here. So we have completely planned. We have planned our lives here. You know, we come down. Hopefully it will go according to plan. It doesn't always. We come down, but we have someone with us that knew us, that agreed to be with us, that agreed to watch over us, that agreed to stand by us the entire lifetime until we leave. So more often than not, it's someone that we knew and someone that we may not even remember until we return to the other side. And we go, oh, yeah, now I know. Oh, yeah, we agreed that you would come with me. You're never alone.
Never alone.
That you knew.
Let's go to Albert in Texas. Hey, Albert, let's squeeze you in here, sir. Go ahead.
About time. It's a pleasure meeting you. I have tried to call you guys 50 times in the past.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you finally made it.
Well, you better put on your seatbelt because I'm the guy you've been wanting to talk to for so long because I'm very gifted. First of all, I remember before I was born, given a choice whether or not to come to Earth because I wanted to be like them. They said you can't be like us unless you go to Earth. But remember, there's an evil there that may overtake you.
Wow.
But we will be with you and to guide you and to protect you and to bring you back. Okay, I said that much to say this. When my grandfather passed away 20 years ago, I was in my barn looking at a track unit truck I was fixing to paint. And this barn had a door that anybody walked through it, it automatically slammed or made it bump. Well, I'm standing there stretching, the whole barn is closed up, and I'm looking at the truck. All of a sudden, I knew someone was in the building. And I'm thinking, that's odd, I didn't hear the door. So I look to the right in the direction of the door, and here they appear. My grandfather is glowing. He's like in his mid-80s, I guess, when he died. It happened 100 miles away, 7 a.m. in the morning, because later I learned the time frame. And beside him on either side were two angels. They were dressed in white with a gold rope belt, no wings, no halo, but they were bright. And they were like young men of 21 years of age.
You had the classic visitation, Albert, and unfortunately we are out of time. But I want you to definitely get back to us for more stories when you have some time. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM with the Good Witch. Thank you, Constance.